हेलो फ्रेंड्स, नेक्स्ट टॉपिक ऑफ द चैप्टर 4 रेस्टोरेशन अप्रोच इंट्रोडक्शन। द रेस्टोरेशन इज वाज एन इम्पॉर्टेंट जंक्चर इन द डेवलपमेंट ऑफ इंग्लिश प्रोज। ब्रॉडली स्पीकिंग, इट वाज द पीरियड व्हेन इंग्लिश प्रोज मूव्ड फ्रॉम एंटीक्विटी टू मॉडर्निटी। मैथ्यू अर्नॉल्ड ऑब्जर्व इन दिस कनेक्शन इनोटेड कॉमा, द रेस्टोरेशन मार्क्स द रियल मोमेंट of worth of our modern prose. English prose after the restoration breaks with the times preceding it, find the true law of prose and becomes in spite of superficial differences the style of our own day. Close. Lewis I. Bradwald words that Dryden and his contemporaries created modern English prose. The prose before the Restoration is characterized by prolixity, involvedness, complexity, and diffuseness. But the prose after the Restoration has the modern qualities of clarity, precision, and simplicity. With the Restoration, English prose moves speedily toward being strictly functional. It retrenches all unnecessary ornamentation and starts the job of chewing without fuss and task which it ordained to perform. The transition. The linguistic change in the Restoration is went hand in hand with the social change. With the stability in society came the stability in language. This period saw the transition from the turbulence and antiquity to the stability and balance of the new times. This transition was the sum total of many complex forces. So was the transition in English prose from the fluidity, complexity, and continence of writers like Burton and Brown to the clarity, consensus, perspicuity, and modernity of writers like Dryden, Bunyan, Halifax, and others. Dryden was the writer to set the tone with his racy, masculine, and forceful prose. And the change was completed by the prose writer of the age of Queen Anne, like Addison and Swift. Critical interest. What is also of interest to note is that in the Restoration, critical interest in prose was shown for the first time in history of English literature. Critical interest in poetry dates from a much earlier period. But such interest in prose is visible from only in this period. Before this period is the period, the rules of English grammar and syntax were in a state of fluidity. In the Restoration period, the need of establishing the English language is general, and the prose is particular was voiced by many eminent writers like Dryden and Thomas Spratt. They expressed the desire to clarify and fix the language once and for all, so as to obviate the possibility of undue license on account of fluidity of the rules of grammar and syntax. To this end, some prominent writer even went so far as to propose an establishment of an academy of language on the lines of the French Academy. For example, Dryden wrote in the Dedication of the Rebel Ladies, 1664. I am sorry that speaking so novel a language as we do, we have not a more certain measure of it as they have in France, where they have an academy erected for the purpose. However, this proposed academy was destined to have no existence apart from the one or another, even though in 1664 a committee was nominated by the Royal Society to take a step for the stabilization of the English language. But what is noteworthy here is the interest taken in it during the period in question, as also the desire expressed by quite a few writers for fixing the English language which occasioned it. Another factor which compels our attention is the critical interest shown by some writers of the age in English prose style. For the first time in history, we find men of letters discussing what is and what is not good prose style. Their new interests start with Hobbes and the Royal Society. After that, we find most prose writers expressing themselves in passing and sometime at some length on this subject. The consensus of their opinion seems to be in a favor of clarity, simplicity, and utility, and against pedantry, affectation, rusticity, rigidity alike. Spart, in his History of the Royal Society, 1667, wrote how the society asked from all their members a close-necked, natural way of speaking, positive expression, clear sense, a native easiness, bringing all things as near the mathematical plainness as they can, and preferring the language of artisans, countrymen, and merchants before that of wits and scholars. John Hughes, in his Essay of Style, 1698, gives us the best direction and diligent and careful perusal of most character writers of the language in their various kind, with the conversation of people of fashion that speak well and without affection. Later still we find Edison, Defoe, and Swift, to name only a few, writing on this very topic. In fact, there were very few prose writers in the post-Restoration period who did not say something as to how English should be written or written better. The Latinization, the transition from antiquity to modernity to which English prose found itself subjected in the Restoration was, broadly speaking, a movement toward its de-Latinization. The English prose before the Restoration was highly Latinized, both in diction, choice of word, and syntax, structure of sentence. There was a comparatively high proportion of words of Latin origin as distinct from those of Anglo-Saxon derivation. The sentence structure was after the Latin practice. The prose of Carlyle, writer like Brown and Milton, for instance, is highly Latinized in diction and syntax. This Latinization result in complexity of his style. Further, the pre-Restoration prose writers had an exceeding fondness for Latin quotation, which are usually printed in italics. The most prolific quoter was Burton, the author of The Anatomy of Melancholy. To make confusion worse confounded, the pre-Restoration writers were used to employing a very large number of parentheses. The Latinized syntax, to be more specific, the kind employed by Roman orator Cicero, meant every often and prolongation of the sentence with the help of an unwieldy number of subordinate clauses, though not often, unoften, with a sense of balance and rhetorical organization. As in Milton and Brown, the distinction between the sentence and the paragraph often altogether disappeared, for sentences went like the river Alf in Coleridge's Kubla Khan. The de-Latinization of English prose around and after the Restoration meant the simplification and modernization of English prose as regards both its diction and syntax. It also implied the bringing nearer of the written language to the spoken language. The tendency of use plethoric Latin quotation as also parentheses come to be discouraged, and in general English prose took a great leap forward from antiquity to modernity. Let us now discuss some of the important factor which caused, attended, and conditioned this remarkable change. The Royal Society. The first of them, and an important one, was the establishment of the Royal Society for the Promotion of the Experimental Science. It was Charles II who granted the charter to the society in 1662, thus extending to it royal patronage and blessing. It became a fashion with courtiers and dabble in experimental science, and even to have private laboratories of their own. The Royal Society did some very useful work, and the name of such genuine scientists as Boyle were associated with it. However, it had a pretty promiscuous membership. Such persons as Dryden, Galileo, Charles II Champlain, the divine Isaac Barrow, and the future bishop Seth Ward and John Wilkins were also its members. The establishment of the Royal Society and the progress of experimental science to which it gave rise were important factors in affecting the transition in English prose from antiquity to simplicity and modernity. The language used by scientists to describe their experiments must need be clear, unimpassioned, and almost mathematical in plainness. There is no place in it for words and expressions which bear extra scientific, say moral, religious, or sensuous connotations. The numerous volumes which appeared under the title of the Philosophical Transaction of the Royal Society did much to pave the way for scientific matter of fact prose. The society itself, as Sprat tells us, was most solicitous about retrenching all extravagance of expression, and there has been a constant resolution to reject all amplification, disgressive, all swelling of style, to return back to the primitive purity and shortness when men delivered so many things almost in an equal number of words. The plain language used and recommended by members of the Royal Society, which had connection with the intellectual elite of the age, naturally had much influence upon contemporary men of letters. So the establishment of the Royal Society was a momentous step for promoting the use of direct and clear language free from conceit and stylistic zeuxis. Sermons. From science to sermon is indeed a far cry, but the divine of the age did as good work as the scientist for the simplification of English prose. The age is known for the great sermons written during its South, Barrow, and Archbishop Tillotson dissociated themselves from the old style and caused their sermon in an effective and simple English capable of being understood and appreciated by common people. In this way, they kept pace with the scientists. They did not treat their hearer as passive recipient or as empty bucket to be pumped into, but rational and critical persons. Nor did they have a taste for pedantry and affection. Tillotson played a major role in affecting the change in English prose. Dryden, one of the greatest masters of English prose, professed to have learned his style chiefly from Tillotson. During the Augustan age, religion was still in A.R. Humphrey's words a continuing concern of life, even though it had been dislodged from its former pedestal of glory. The change in the style of the clergy was bound to have some impact on that of the secular writers too. Restoration Comedy. The Restoration Comedy too contributed toward the establishment of modern prose. The Restoration Comedy writers replaced verse with prose as their medium. Admittedly, they did not so much simplify English prose as added to it that delicacy, fineness, and elegance hitherto missing in it. Courthope, referring to the part played by the Restoration Comedy writers, observed in Joseph Addison. In unnoted comma, our gratitude is due to the Caroline dramatist who may justly claim to be founder of the social prose style in English literature. Before them, English prose had been employed, no doubt with music and majesty, by many writers, but the style of these is sacredly representative. They had used the language for their own elevated purpose without, however, attempting to give it that balanced fineness and subtlety which make it a fitting instrument for conveying the complex ideas of an advanced stage of society. Dryden, Wycherley, and their followers, impelled by the taste of the court or to study the French language, brought to English composition a nicer standard of logic and more choice selection of language, while the necessity of pleasing their audience with brilliant dialogue made them careful to give their sentence that well-poised structure with addition afterwards carried to perfection in the spectator. Even if one may entirely agree with Courthope regarding the importance of the Carlyle dramatist, it will have to be admitted that these dramatists made the cultivation of good English a contemporary virtue and almost one of the standard of good breeding and politeness. The new prose of Restoration drama might not have had the stable harmonies of the prose of Sir Thomas Browne or the Latinized sweep of that of Hooker's, but it had certainly much more in of brilliance and culture and modernity. Notwithstanding its occasional lapse into verbal quibble and rather unsavory salacious inundas, it was a plastic enough vehicle for various kind of thought and feeling, and entirely capable of fulfilling the needs of expression of a more complex and advanced society. The prose of the Augustan writer is more akin to this prose than this prose it is to the prose of the early 17th century. Not least was the modernizing influence exerted on English prose by the popularization of literature toward the end of 17th century. The unprecedented expansion of the circle of reader was much responsible for the simplification of and stabilization of English prose. In the post-restoration age, writing became for the first time in history a lucrative profession. Dryden, the most prominent literary figure of the age, depended for his livelihood entirely on writing. There was an unprecedented spread in party pamphleteering to form and guide public opinion on the issue of the everyday life. These pamphlets were obviously addressed to the general public and were therefore caused in a simple and clear prose so as to be easily comprehensible to them. In the general public, many writers found their new patrons. Formerly, they had depended on the bounty of rich patron even for the publication of their work. But now the printed word could sell, and many merchant and manufacturer of books appeared on the scene. The language employed by the writer with an eye on the common people was naturally enough simple and clear. The social sense of the public was a novelty for the writer, and it was a very important factor responsible for the simplification of English prose. The prospect of general rather than individual reception deterred the writer from indulging in his private whims and fancies and directed him to employ the idiom and the common reader. Journalism. It add to the popularization of literature and the development of journalism in the post-restoration period. Though the first periodical issue, the Tatler, and the first daily, the Courant, appeared in the beginning of the 18th century. At even in the period under consideration, there is evidence of a hectic generalistic activity. The name of the Ned Ward, Roger L. Estrange, and many other leisure writers are associated with post-restoration journalism. They catered for the common people and naturally expressed themselves in a simple and easily comprehensible language, and sought on account of the popularization of literature and the emergence of journalism in the post-restoration age, English prose grew much clearer, simpler, more easily intelligible, and therefore modern. The topic, restoration prose, over.